Australia Overnight with Pat Panetta. Now, our next guest says that Australia's cybersecurity strategy is all wrong and the government is talking big, saying they're going to go for the Russian hackers, for example, but it's probably best for them to talk less and do more. To explain his thoughts, our cybersecurity expert, Thomas Gerrage, is on the program, Australia Overnight. G'day, Thomas.
G'day, how are you going?
Too much big talk and not enough action, Thomas.
Yeah, too much big talk, mate. It's very similar to the school playground and the whole bully syndrome in the playground. You know, somebody throws a rock at you, you want to throw a rock at them, but it never solves the problem until somebody sits down and actually really thinks about solving the issue instead of the surface-based issues of rocks being thrown, you know, names being called and all the usual blah, blah, blah that you would get in a playground.
So I guess it's politically motivated. So when these hacks happen on Optus and everybody else and Medibank, governments come out and say, we're coming for you, you know, Russian hackers, and we're going to arrest you and throw away the key. And, you know, it serves their purpose from a political point of view. But you're saying you're basically alerting the enemy to what you're going to do and you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yep, absolutely. So in wartime, for example, when we went to war with Iraq some time ago, when you go to Iraq and basically tell them what you're going to do, there's no point being there because you've basically lost the war, because they will know your strategy, they will know how to infiltrate your environment. And the same thing with this kind of thing as well. We're basically telling the world about our cyber capability, what we're going to do, how we're going to do things. And what's even worse with that is we're actually threatening the very people that have just performed a hack on an organization, which is quite a sophisticated hack on the organization. And we're actually threatening these people almost like we're declaring war on them, but we're really not declaring an act of war. It's just a petty behavior. What we call it in our organization is the Kardashian syndrome, really.
Right. And it's a waste of breath anyway. I mean, the Russian government, especially under these circumstances now, aren't going to hand over these people anyway. Isn't it just a waste of time? You'd sort of, you know, find another strategy. Are we right?
Absolutely. It is a waste of time. We could be fixing the problem. And the problem is there's a very big education issue we have in this country around cybersecurity, because we've got a lot of IT service providers. We've got a lot of people trying to give advice about an area where there are so many moving parts that no one who works in an IT realm itself actually understands every moving part in it. Uh-huh. So when we're going and threatening the Russian hackers, for example, tomorrow will hack Medibank by a computer hack. Tomorrow, they may end up sending a whole bunch of people to infiltrate the organization over 10 years and then hack them worse. So the warfare is not just about technology, it's not about people, it's not about process, it's all about the holistic view of warfare around how you would get into somebody's skin, pretty much.
Interesting. You know, I guess one expert, as you say, so many moving parts, probably can look after one thing, but there's so much going on, you know, they'll probably say, well, I don't know. I actually don't know about that, but I am an expert. You mentioned the sophisticated hack from the example is the Russian hackers and all that, but isn't it just some kid in his bedroom as well that's sort of sending a link to somebody who they click on and it causes mayhem? Is that part of what the problem is as well? Just people who are lone wolves, not that sophisticated, but causing mayhem?
Yep, absolutely. So you've got a number of different types of hackers. You've got what we call script kiddies. These are children that, or people that will sit in their dungeons, their dens, put their hoodies on and eat their Pop-Tarts late at night and start hacking and trying to discover what they can hack within an environment. They are not overly sophisticated. And then you've got organized crime, and on top of that, state-sponsored type attacks. Each one's got a different motivation, a different funding and budget to do it. And also it depends on what they're trying to achieve as well. But yes, you're right. There are people that sit in their dungeons at night. These are what we reference as script kiddies in our industry.
Yep. Thomas Gerrage is a cybersecurity expert. He's joining us on the program here in Australia Overnight. So a hack is different to a scam. So when you get those links, like on your WhatsApp, that leads you to a fake job ad or something, and they want your bank account details, does that fall under the umbrella of what you do, or is that different to sort of a data hack?
Yep, so it's all the same thing. It's all about information in the end of the day. So the scam is the first stage of the actual hack itself. It's about either they send you a scam to try and discover information about you and try to discover you yourself and what vulnerabilities you have, and then they'll apply an attack afterwards. Or sometimes that scam has the attack embedded in the email, so they go for the full hog straight away. So they've already conducted a discovery on you. So it's about attacking you in the first instance. So it all does fall under that realm. So scams, hacks, and all that, they're all just very unique words in the industry.
Yes.
But what we just call it is that somebody is aiming to compromise an individual.
It's going to be a big thing in 2023, Thomas, don't you reckon? It was big last year and it's just gaining momentum. So what can the average person do? What should the government do? What should, you know, small and big business do to combat this this attack that we're sort of getting very used to?
So there's been a lot of waffle in the industry talking about make sure you've got antivirus and two-factor authentication and all these usual things. These are great if the technology is actually not weak. But if the technology is weak, then you're going to get hacked regardless of whether you have these technologies in place. The key thing is people being vigilant and not giving too much out. I mean, I know Facebook is great, social media is wonderful when I communicate with our family, but every time you go and click on your face on those Facebook applications that say, let's see whether or not you should be King of Nigeria or whatever, you've got a whole bunch of apps on there. And every time you click on it, somebody is farming information in Facebook. The terms and conditions even denoted about collecting information. So we've got to be very vigilant. Whether you're an individual or a major corporation, vigilance now is the most important thing. Awareness in the organization, and to stop complicating and saying cybersecurity is so complicated and go back to basics and understand really four things. What have you got to lose? Who's going to take it from you? How are they going to do it? And if that risk is realized, what is it going to cost you in the long run?
So that's a checklist in your brain that you're saying to yourself, Thomas. Is that what that?
Absolutely.
Right. You know, but to operate in the world, I take your point 100%. You know, you've got to be vigilant and just really be aware of what you're giving out. But I'll say to myself, I'm not giving my credit card details out, or I'm not doing this. And then my son wants me to help him with the pay his gym thing, and I'm in the car and I ring, and they, you know, I find myself then giving my credit card details to some stranger on the other side of the phone. So it's hard in this world. We, you know, they want us all to operate on digital platforms. So, you know, to just get by, you need to do it. So there's a bit of an issue there where, you know, what do you do?
So this is about the entire culture change. So yes, we're digital. I think we're moving to a cashless society eventually. And the whole key thing is that if we've got a card and we're going to swipe it, we have to have an element of trust on the other side. But the key thing is here too is you give your card, you're basically given your livelihood. Your card's attached to money that you've earned through your job, or whether you've given it to your kids or however it is. But the key thing is here, you've given your livelihood to somebody through a card. And you've got to work out, okay, if I'm going to give that to somebody, do I trust the other side?
Yep. Do you know what? I say it, Thomas, now. I sort of say, you know, I'm giving you the numbers. Are you just, can you please just plug it into the machine or destroy it? Now, they can say whatever, but at least I'm sort of, you know, actively saying, I'm giving you my credit card. You know, make sure you sort of destroy it and just be responsible with the details that I'm giving you.
Yep, absolutely. And it's also with your ID too. When you go to hotels and they're collecting driver's license, passports and Medicare cards and whatever to be able to ID you for the period of your stay, yet there are hotels still carrying that ID information for 7 to 10 years after that because I don't know whether it's a matter of laziness and not cleaning the hotel records, or it's a policy in the hotel, but really your ID should only be there for the duration of your stay and maybe 7 days after, just in case there's any incidentals in the room and all that, to be able to contact you, for example. But you should never, no one should be holding ID anymore.
Right. So I'm going to be saying it, Thomas. Now I'm going to say, you know, hold it for 7 days and then destroy it. I'll be phoning you in a week to see if you've destroyed it. I think we have to all be a bit tougher with our questions.
Yep, we definitely do. And you have a right to ask that as well. You can ask the hotel, what are you going to do with that information? And when is it going to be destroyed? And if you don't get an acceptable answer, well, you can always escalate that to the manager or probably never stay at that hotel again. And you've got a choice to do that. And if people are not, if people in organizations are not going to change practices, owners of organizations don't change their practices, it's only going to be a matter of a time before they get caught out and then they're not going to be operating effectively anymore.
Well, that's right. They'll have to fall into line. And you don't have to be rude or nasty about it. I know you're not suggesting that either. I tell them, you know, I'm concerned about this because have you seen the news lately? There's a lot of this going on. And I think everybody gets it. So it's you're just simply, you know, saying something which I'm sure any reasonable person would understand while you're making the inquiry, and it's all cool.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we don't have privacy anymore in Australia. We've got CCTV, we've got surveillance everywhere in the country. It watches us, so we don't have privacy anymore. So the Privacy Act is there purely to protect information and protect our personally identifiable information and other sensitivities. But the key thing is, okay, if we don't have a private society, the key thing is then what's the next level is make sure you ask questions about your information and what's going to happen to it. And that's that part of that vigilance we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. And will there be any changes to legislation this year? Do we require the government to sort of speed up and sort of fix a few policies and things? Are they a bit behind the curve on anything?
So I think, like we were talking about earlier, there's a political motivation with all this noise that's being made. And then not only that, it's also a popularity contest. But the key thing is you want to fix a problem and you want to change legislation, don't go and increase the fines, because you increase the fines, people's insurance policies are only going to increase, and organizations can still pay those fines, whether you change it from 10 million to 50 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been cases of $500 million US dollars overseas of fines for not
looking
violations
data.
Of the Privacy Act and all that. So people and organizations will pay it if they can afford it, if they're going to be sloppy. The key thing is legislation shouldn't be about fines anymore, because people still speed, fines increase, people still speed, and it's that whole process, for example. So it's about changing the mindset of the country and changing it into we're a she'll be right culture.
Yes.
Sure, we can still be she'll be right, but there's an element again of vigilance in the background of, all right, she'll be right, but what the hell's happening to my information?
Yep. I reckon that she'll be right culture, which we do have here in Australia, will fall off pretty quickly once, you know, your data is stolen and, you know, someone sort of mimicking you somewhere trying to sort of, use your information. You will regret that sort of relaxed attitude after that. All right, mate. Look, it's a great chat. It's something we're all interested in. So thanks for your time on Australia Overnight from Shimazaki Management Group, our cybersecurity expert, Thomas Gerage. Thanks for your time.
Nice. Thanks, mate.